It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My beautiful, sweet mama Eva is over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is Pastor Larry Parvin. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so glad that you agreed to come and be our guest this morning. I really appreciate
you're
sir.
Welcome. We'll try to fill in when we can.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. If there's no technical difficulties. We're late this morning due to technical difficulties. But, hey, it's okay. You know why it's okay? Because nothing surprises our God.
No, it doesn't.
Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City. I think I covered it all, sir. Would you pray to start us out, please?
Let's pray. Father God, we bow before you again today, and just we love you, we praise you. Lord, as Neva, take care of Neva and Joe as they travel. But Lord, just we do pray that you would bless this time. This is your time. There's nothing, as Monica prayed, there's nothing special about us that makes this hour so special. It's you. And Lord, we do pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, it's your word, and Lord, there are people around us that need encouragement. They need to know you. They need to know that you're there for them. You love them. You care about them. And Lord, those of us that profess to know.
Oh, no. No way. I like your title this morning, though.
Is God God or is God God? Is that what it said? Is God
yes.
God or not? I like that or not, but anyway, is God God? We don't live as though God is God. We live like we're able to take care of stuff. But, you know, of course, I believe I'm one of those narrow-minded people that believe I believe a lot of stuff. I don't know a lot of stuff because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I think it was Job that said he was the most brutish of beasts. But I believe that God is God. I believe that God created this universe. I believe God made everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. His spirit hovered over the darkness, over the waters, the darkness, the chaos. And he brought order out of that chaos and created this beautiful planet. He created the critters that we have, the blessings. He created everything. And then that last day, he created us in his image. He created us. See, we created by him and for him. And in him, all things consist. Colossians 1:16-17, and through there that... we are gods, whether you want to believe in God or not. But, you know, you cannot walk out your house at night and look up in that beautiful starry sky or even see some of the case. That's always, she taking pictures, and a lot of people are. She was just showing me some yesterday that made me think about it, but take a picture of a beautiful sunset off of their screened-in back porch. And it's just beautiful. the stars, the sky. That it's just beautiful. A sunrise, not much more pretty. Sure, some of us are getting too old to get up for a sunrise. I mean, us, me. But get up and see that. But it's, you can't see all of that and not know that there was a creator. What I mean? The heavens declare the handiwork of God. Didn't I read that in Scripture somewhere, Monica? I think I did. I remember. But God made all of this. He created us. And everything God makes is good. We're not all the same. Mm. Aren't you glad we're not all the same?
Amen.
This would be a boring, boring planet if everybody looked like Larry Parvin. Be an ugly planet. Now, you guys had beauty like a rose. But anyway, God knew what he was doing. And God had a plan. And God had a purpose. And if you're listening to this today, or if you're listening to this later on, as it's recorded, God created you. God made you. There were no accidents. I don't care. I do care. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were of your coming into this world, regardless of who your parents were, the situation of your conception, you are precious and beautiful in the eyes of God. Amen. And God loves you. And there's not anything about you that he doesn't care about. And the Bible is just plumb full of promises that God has made to care for us, to provide for us. I'm going to say it again. The Main Streets, they kind of thinking I'm just trying to say it all the time so I can remember it, which is getting to be true. But how many of you have Psalm 37:25 memorized? You've heard that on here before, Psalm 37:25. David, in his older years, looking back over his life and all that God did for him, made the statement that I was young and now I'm old, and yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. When we truly seek to live for God, seek the righteousness of Christ, remember Jesus died on the cross, and our sins, the sins of the world, were placed on him. He took them to the grave, and then he come from the grave in his glorified body, having conquered death, hell, and the grave. And having by faith, believing that, I can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But those of us who truly trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and truly love him, God doesn't see our sinful natures, our sin. We still have that sinful nature and struggle as long as we're on this planet. But God doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees the righteousness. He sees his son Jesus, who is in us, we're his righteousness because of what he paid. Our sins weren't just forgotten. They were paid. The substitution, we need to remember that substitution. He took your place and mine on Calvary's cross so that I could be made the righteousness of Christ and have all that be co-heir with Christ to all the promises of heaven. I should have all them verses lined out here for you, but you get the point, right? What are some of them promises? How about John 14:6? Jesus is getting 1-6. Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. Peter said, "Lord, you can't go. I'll go anywhere you go." He said, "Really, Peter, you're going to deny me tonight 3 times. But anyway, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Not an angel. "I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a promise of Jesus Christ. That's a promise of God. If that don't excite you, you need to go cut some new wood because your wood's wet.
Come on.
You need to get right with Christ. I mean, that is a promise that I do not have to live for all eternity in this sin-stained body in this sin-stained world because he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. And as his children, we are going to be changed and get to be with him forever. Go read 1 Corinthians 15 in the twinkling of an eye. And that's a promise. Mm-hmm. Promises of God. He's promised to provide for us. He said, I'll never leave you. He said, be content in Hebrews 13, isn't it? Toward 8 or something like that. Be content with what you have. The author of Hebrews says, because Jesus has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's a promise. I will never leave you. And then Hebrews is explaining, the author of Hebrews explaining to the Jewish people, the Hebrews, that Jesus is the great high priest. That he's not gonna die again. He died once, but to live forever. The high priest that we have on this planet and the preachers, they're gonna die, but not Jesus. He lives forever to make intercession for us. That's another promise. What's Jesus doing for you right now? Besides providing for us. If it weren't for Jesus, I'd have destroyed myself a long time ago. He's praying for me right now. He's praying for you right now. He may be praying for you that are listening right now, just that you would allow the Holy Spirit. He's praying that you would allow his Spirit to take this word and change your life and give you hope and give you courage and give you help you to stand on the promise that I will never forsake you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. David said that at the end of his life. We serve an awesome God. What are some other? There's just promise after promise after promise. But God is seated on his throne. He loves us, and I just get to watching the news. We're gonna be in Isaiah 62 and Isaiah 63 for just a little bit. And but I've been reading this stuff online and people fighting over stuff. But one of the things that I've noticed that I just have to sit back and chuckle over is the fact that people out west are wanting to pump water from the Mississippi River out west because people out west have used up all of their water. And if something doesn't change, there's 8 states that gets their water out of the Colorado River and Lake Mead. Mm-hmm. And you've heard what all's going on out there at Lake Mead. The water at the lake is way down. It's getting down so far. They're finding all them bodies in barrels and bodies that the mob has thrown in there and people that died back in the 50s and 60s and 70s during boating accidents. Anyway, it's just getting really low. But the problem is the water is gone. They're just using too much water. And they're saying, and of course, here's what they tell us about this deal, though, is that we've been trying to tell y'all about this global warming stuff, that, you know, if you don't make some changes. But the change that we need to make, I'm going to submit to us today, is that we need to remember that God is God. Amen. And there is no, and I'm going to make this statement, I'm not a scientist, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I should write that thought down because I'll lose it. But I'm going to go ahead and make this statement that there is no less water in God's universe and system, this planet, or in the atmosphere anywhere than there was during the flood.
Mm, come on.
There, that God still has a storehouses of water. There's no water gone. It stays in our system. We know how that works. It evaporates. It goes up. It gets against the dirt particle, and then we get the rain and the storms, and it just continuously cycles. We've got the Oglala Aquifer out there, and I'm sure it may be going down a little bit too. But God still has storehouses of water to take care of us here on this planet. But what's the problem? God might be, it might just be that God is saying, if y'all don't need me anymore and y'all are able to take care of yourselves, maybe you don't need my water. God withholds the rain. He tells us that. He told Israel that when you forsake me, I will not only scatter you out of this good land that I've given you, but I will withhold the early rains and the late rains. And we'll just let your land be turned into a wilderness, and we'll see how you fare without me. We'll see how you fare without my blessings. We talked about that gentleman a while ago. I didn't give those blessings to you. Well, let's see how those blessings last when I refuse to bless you. We were just talking, excuse me, about how that a lot of us feel we're blessed because of our own brilliance, and we tend to not want to give God thanks. But God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need anything, but we have got to be praying. We've got to be seeking God, because he has control of everything, including us. Is God God or not? If he truly is God, and I believe that he is, and I believe that he has Malachi 3:10. Have you got that one memorized? Malachi, God through Malachi, told the children of Israel to try me, test me, bring the tithe, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there will be plenty of food. But bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out more blessings than you are able to receive. That's a promise. If we will remember God and pray, seek his face, and 2 Chronicles 7:14, that was for the Jewish people. This still works for us. But if we'll pray and seek him, I can just see him waiting up there to just flourish this land. But this land just keeps spitting in his face and mocking him and passing laws that are just contrary to his word. People trying to live lifestyles and families defending and fighting for the right to live lifestyles that God says are an abomination. We not just one, but all different kinds. I'm not just picking on any one sin. But we can't just legalize sin and think God's going to continue to bless this country. We don't need God. If we'll honor God, he'll honor us. Is God God or not? If God is God, what he says needs to be our standard for life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's not being a vindictive, mean cat and mouse game thing. God, he said, thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not kill. He gave us those commandments. He gave us the great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself for our own good. For our peace. Is God God or not? If he is, listen to what I want to read. Isaiah 62. I want to read, and then some in 63, but I want to read verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 62, and you think about this with me. The children of Israel have sinned against God. This is in between the Assyrians and Babylonians are coming after them, and God is allowing them to invade the land because they have turned their back on God. They have forsaken his commandments. God has withheld the rains. It's gotten really dry in Israel. There's been famines, and now these armies are coming. Does that sound familiar? Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? And God is getting ready to scatter them out of the land just like he told him that he would when they came in if they didn't keep his word. Oh, man. Let's listen to verse 6 of chapter 62. God says through Isaiah to the children of Israel, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Jerusalem, and I know there's a lot of scholars, well-studied people that think that, and there's different views on what's going to happen to Jerusalem, but I do know that the Bible very clearly teaches that Jerusalem is going to be, the city of David is going to be established for eternity during the millennium and through all eternity in that new heaven and new earth, that Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David, and he's going to establish Jerusalem to be a place of worship for the whole world. He's going to do that. He said he's going to do that, right? But but notice what he's saying here. It looks like here come these armies going to destroy Jerusalem. They burn the temple with fire. They rebuild it several times. And then again in A.D. 70, Titus, the Romans, burn it again. And now there's a mosque sitting over there where the temple should be. And it will be again here before too long. Regardless, how do I know for sure that that temple's going to be rebuilt? Because God said... Well, there's already a mosque there. Well, God is able to remove that mosque and put his temple back over there. It's coming. Just trust God. Is God God or not? What are you struggling with in your life? I mean, what is it, a marriage relationship? Is God God or not? Maybe you're the one that needs to be changed and not your spouse. You know, every time I ever had a disagreement with Judy, it's always Judy's fault. Without a doubt, it's always Larry's fault. But I always say that it's Judy's. You know what I'm saying? It's always somebody else's fault. If we just let God do a work in our hearts, all this, and let him do what God does, all this stuff would be taken care of, Monica.
Amen.
Just listen to God. Now I lost my train of thought. Is God God or not? But no, God said, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. And they shall never hold their peace day or night. What are they doing? They're praying. They're interceding for Jerusalem. And we need watchmen that would go, and we need watchmen on the walls here in the United States of America, in the church today, as Christians all around the world, to be on the walls and to never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. If God is God and you are truly a follower and a child of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, you need to speak up. You need to quit being silent. That's what he said. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. I'm not sure that a lot of the problems we have today are because the church people are not screaming and hollering at the top of their lungs, Jesus is Lord. God is God. Jesus is the one and only true God. He is the creator of this universe. All things were created by him and for him, and in him all things consist. I read that in Colossians. Isn't that the word of God? Yes, because God is God. Make mention of the Lord. Do not keep silent, and give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Right now, today, is Jerusalem a praise in the earth? No, it's not. People in the United States thinks that the Jews need to go and the Palestinians take it all back over. That land was given to the Jewish people by God, and they will be there forever. They will not be put off again. Anyway, but how often do we pray us in the church and as Christians for the peace of Jerusalem? We should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. You want to know what the hope of America is? Look at what's going on in Jerusalem. That's God's people. Why is Jerusalem, why are the Jews so important? It's because of the Jewish people that we have this book, this great, this awesome book of God. They are God's chosen people, just as his children, anybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It is through them that we have a Messiah. I don't want to bust nobody's bubble. Jesus is not a white man. He's not of Aryan race. He was not an American. He was a Jew. He's still a Jew. He's God seated at the right hand of God. But I'll also say that it doesn't matter if you're Jewish. Jewish is your Jewish Messiah. If you're a black man, Jesus is a black Messiah. Jesus is a Messiah for all people. There is no color. There's neither Jew nor Greek. get, but anyway, neither male nor female. He is our Messiah. That doesn't matter. But it is through the Jewish people that we have our Messiah, and he has told us what is going to happen. So that needs to change. But notice it says, and give him no rest. Look up Psalm 74, 74, 1 or 2 for me. Give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Lord, we're sitting here right now reading your word through Isaiah, and you tell us through Isaiah to remind you and not allow you to rest or us to forget, I believe, is the reason for that, until you have promised that you are going to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And, Lord, we're going to continue to remind you and speak of that until the day that Israel and Jerusalem is a praise in the earth. That's what he's wanting us to. He said, I didn't say it. Does God forget? No. God, does he forget anything? But he himself says to remind me. Is that for God? No, that's for us. Because we forget.
Come on.
Give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Do you have, what did I say, Psalm 74?
Yes, sir.
1 and 2. Read 1 and 2 and see what it says.
Oh God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the nation you purchased long ago, the people of your inheritance, whom you redeemed, Mount Zion, where you dwelt.
He's saying to remember. Uh-huh. It's another place. There's other places. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 1 and verse 20. Lamentations 5, 1, verse 20. They're calling on God to remember. Do not forget your promises to Israel. Do not forget. We need to remind God that I believe the United States of America was established by the hand of God. Mm-hmm. I believe that it was established on his word. And it's because of him that we're here. But he's telling us here to make mention of the Lord and do not keep silent. I've read this several times, and I'm going to read it several more before we go off the air. And give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And that should be our prayer. The United States was founded on godly biblical principles. I don't care what anybody says. Just go down there and look at all of those monuments and the word. But anyway, it's just a fact. You can deny it all you want to, but it's a fact. But we need to pray in the same thing and give him no rest until he makes the United States raise in the earth the way it has been in the past. Stand in the way of these evil men and women that are in the hands of Satan who want to take us in the opposite direction and cast God out of our lives and out of our laws, and to establish a people that more resemble Sodom and Gomorrah than they do the United States of America of the past, that our forefathers fought and died for. It is a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's not just that one lifestyle. It's all lifestyle. Whether it's outside of marriage, whatever. It's just a sinful, sinful place. And we're legalizing it. We want to legalize it. We need God to stand in the way of this and wake people up and intercede and pray. That's what the church should be praying for. But instead, did you want to say something?
What's so sad is what And what's so sad in today's time is whatever feels good must be right.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what was taught in the back in the years ago.
Yeah.
They just refuse to admit.
Yeah.
To what they're wrong is wrong.
Yeah. It's humanism, and that's humanism. The premise of humanism is the happiness of man, and as long as it makes you happy, it's not anything right and wrong. It doesn't matter that what makes me happy destroys your life, as long as I'm happy. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But it's going to be a whole lot better if we'd get to praying, Lord, please get to praying. Church, pray and intercede. And pray and Be a watchman on the wall, O Jerusalem, and they shall never hold their peace day or night. We need to be praying day and night that God would restore America and restore Jerusalem and Israel to the prominence that they once had. Is this a good time for a break?
Is it a good time for you, sir?
It is good. We're going to move on to 63 in just a minute and remind us of just a few things.
Okay, we only have two prayer requests for this morning. So the first one is if we can pray for my grandson, Ethan, who started high school today.
Awesome. Yes, we will. Yay. There's a bunch of them that we need to be praying for.
You know, with Ethan, I'm so happy.
Oh, that's her grandson.
Yes. Oh, he was going to...
Grandma.
He was considering quitting school and just getting his GED so he could go out and get a job and stuff. But he made the decision...
Good.
...to go ahead and stay in high school and do his best to graduate high school. Good. So if we can cover him in prayer. He wants to go to Votech for welding.
Good.
So
good.
And then if we can pray for Lance, who has been dealing with a lot lately.
Okay. Right. Is that my Lance? Who's Lance?
Lance Bowman.
That's what I thought. It's my Lance.
Oh, okay.
I love Lance Bowman.
Yes.
We'll pray for Lance. Lance, if you're listening, we're praying for you, brother. But let's pray. Father God, we bow before you again and just, we love you. We praise you. And Lord, just help us to remember that, Lord, you ever live to intercede for us, for our well-being, for our obedience and our blessing. And Lord, you care about us. The fact that you came to this earth and gave up your life and suffered what you did for us, you didn't just tell us you loved us, but you demonstrated your love for us in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us.